I'm going to start this Easter sermon with a corny joke. It is a joke that I am sure many of you have heard, and one that I know that I have told before. So here goes. It's nighttime, and a gentleman is outside the street looking for his keys under a streetlight. And as he's searching, a police officer comes by and, wanting to be helpful, asks what the situation is, and they start looking together. They're scouring the area, looking everywhere they can, and after a few minutes, the police officer looks up and says, "Well, we have covered every square inch here, haven't found anything. Are you sure that you lost your keys here?" And the man said, "Well, no, I lost them in that dark alley over there, but I couldn't see, so I'm looking for them here under the streetlight." That's a good one, huh? Okay. A corny joke, but for the purposes of this sermon, I believe it is a parable, and I hope that you will see that as this sermon unfolds. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. It tells the story of the morning on which the resurrection of Jesus is revealed. The story of Jesus alive after he has been crucified on the cross and his body, dead, is laid in the tomb. So I want to have a little review, a little quiz about that John 20 story. Quizzes for everyone, whether you're more or less familiar with the story. You don't have to raise your hands. You can just call out the answers, okay? First question is who? Who does Jesus say came first to the tomb or on that first day of the week? Who was it? Who? Mary Magdalene. I don't know. You guys aren't doing so well. I'm glad I'm reviewing here. Mary Magdalene was one of Jesus' faithful followers throughout his ministry. There's been some misinformation and misunderstanding about Mary Magdalene, but she was part of the core group of the faithful who followed and supported Jesus. One of the important things that scholars have noted, particularly contemporary feminist theologians, is the significance of a woman in that culture being the first to come upon and report that something is happening, a woman as the faithful witness. Now, that could be a whole sermon in itself, but that's not the main point of the quiz for now. Second question is when. When did Mary come to the tomb? Early, right? John says it was early on the day. In fact, John gives the detail. He says it was still dark on that day. It's a tradition of Easter sunrise services, even Saturday night Easter vigils. It's rooted in that narrative of the resurrection story unfolding in the darkness of night, dawning into day. And it's that setting of the story in the dark that gets more towards what I want to explore in it. But I need to ask one more question. This one's the toughest one. The question is why? Why did Mary come to the tomb? Anyone? It's kind of a trick question because the Gospel of John actually doesn't tell us why Mary came. If you read the other Gospel narratives, they have a tradition of several of the women who were followers of Jesus. They were planning to anoint Jesus' body with oils and spices. That was a custom of care and honor. And John may be connecting to that storyline. But beyond any task that Mary may have had in mind, I think that asking why connects us more importantly to the relationship and the loss that motivated her that day. The why of being there is because Jesus has died and Mary is grieving. The why is because Mary, with the other disciples, was one who loved and followed Jesus, who ate and drank and celebrated and suffered and hoped with and lost Jesus. Mary is there because of her grief. And I think we need to stay with that a while, have that settle in a bit for us, particularly on a celebrative Easter day. Because I think there could be just a little inkling in us of a storyline if we wonder about that why of Mary going to the tomb, that maybe she was going to look for the risen Lord. After all, Jesus had spoken foreshadowings of his rising from the dead, so maybe Mary was wondering, I'll find it. No. Mary was there because of her grief. Makes us see that description in the story of, well, it was still dark, was not just of the setting of that day. It was also the reality in her heart and in her soul that day. It was dark. And here's the thing that I've noticed about this story for the first time this Easter, which is that Peter and the other disciple, John, and the others who were followers of Jesus did not go to the tomb then. Now, I don't doubt their grief and loss, but I do see Mary doing something different in the midst of her darkness. I see Mary going to the tomb to grieve her dead teacher. I see her entering into her darkness. And I also see that because Mary went there, because she was present in the darkness of the day and of her soul, that she saw that it was revealed to her the first inklings of something different happening in that place on that day. The way Mary first became part of the resurrection story was by going to the tomb while it was still dark. Which means, I think, that when we listen to the who and the when and the why of Mary in this story, I think what happens is that Mary turns to us and has another question for us this day about where. A question of where am I, where are you, where are we looking for resurrection this day? Because certainly it's different for us than for Mary. We can't pretend we don't know the story. It's not a surprise ending for us. Our location is on the resurrection side of this story, and the resurrection is the lens through which we see Jesus, through which we see ourselves in our world. But what does that mean for us as followers of the risen Christ? I come to realize that I've often been told, I've learned, I'm sure I've preached, to look for resurrection in the light. And why not? There's lots of good things to see in resurrection light. There is triumph and power and hope. But it seems that such resurrection light in the hands of the church can often be turned into triumphalism and power over and hope only for some. I wonder if it's not in the light, but still in the darkness that we're meant to be looking for, that we will most find most deeply the resurrection story. What I've come to see in some new ways in this season of Lent just past, where we have delved into lament, into many places of loss and lament, of judgment and pain and darkness, I've come to see that as people of faith, we are called to such places. I've come to see in some new ways, in broad strokes, personally and nationally, in congregation and denomination, in ministry and in life, that people of faith are called to name, to listen to acknowledge, to enter into darkness. Because the essential thing that I've realized about Mary on that morning is that what she did, the when and the why of it, was not an act of despair, but of faith and of faithfulness. I'm thinking actually about how this story shows how peculiar it can be that we use labels of being a Christian or not, or another religion. What would be our label for Mary that morning? Was she Jewish? Good. Was she pre-Christian? Was she Christian? Seems strange to even care, doesn't it? Which points out that what's most important is not the label for Mary, but that we see that she was being faithful. On a human level, she was faithful to love and grief, to devotion and loss. And I believe she was faithful to God that day, too. I imagine that morning that she was praying, that she was seeking God's presence in her confusion and in her grief. And it is in such faith and faithfulness in the midst of darkness, that the God of life, of resurrection, is present, is revealed. Can we learn such faith from Mary on this Easter day? Where might we be called to be present, to be looking, to be faithful, and to see what God will reveal to us? I know it's easier to be in the light, and thank God for it. Thank God for the joy and celebration and blessing and beauty of life, of our lives, of this day of resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen. But it's odd this way we have of use, this odd way that we have of using light that's the problem. We use light to try to deny that there's darkness. We use light to try to stay away from what is difficult, to gloss over what is broken. And that's not resurrection light at all. That's just a fragile veneer, as shallow as it is shiny. The call I hear for me this resurrection day, for us as resurrection people, for the church as the community of the risen Christ, the call I hear from Mary is to have the faith and faithfulness to go to those places where it is still dark and see what God will reveal to us there. To ask, what is there in me that is hurt and broken? What is there that is destructive and deadly in me, that's lost and hopeless? I ask God for the faith, the courage to go there, to believe the God of life will meet me there. Where is there darkness in you this day? How will the God of life meet you there? I wonder where in our life as a congregation there are things to grieve, to acknowledge our needs for restoration and life. Thank God for all the light and life present here at Hope Church. But faith gives us the courage to also see where there is still darkness that we are a part of, hurt that we perpetuate. Such faith believes that the God of life will not be revealed to us only in our strength, but also in our humility and in our weakness. And more than about me and about you and about us together on this Easter day, the truth is that in our world there are simply far too many places and far too many people for whom it is still dark this day, where there is violence and need, where there is prejudice and injustice, intolerance and greed, death and diminishment. Now these are people and places who may join in and care about this Easter celebration that we are having today or not, but it makes no difference. We are called to grieve their brokenness as much as Mary grieved her crucified Lord. For this is the Lord of life. And in Christ's death, the suffering of this world is named dear to God's heart. We are called in faith and faithfulness to go to such people and places while it is, because it is still dark. What will we find there? I believe that the Lord of life will be revealed to us. Now please hear me. This is no quick dash into the darkness saying, we have the light, and then we dash away. This is the faith and faithfulness to go where our relationships of care, our grief, our love, our compassion calls us, and to remain there a while. And when we do, we will find that the God of life is present in and at work in our world. As we go there, perhaps it will be to lament, perhaps to show compassion, perhaps it will be to confess, perhaps to confront, perhaps to listen, perhaps to speak. Perhaps it will be to work or to give or to receive. Perhaps it will be to learn or to teach or to unlearn. Perhaps to bless. Perhaps it will be to be present and not know the answer, but to care. And in all those things, we will be opening ourselves and others in this world to the presence of the risen one who embraced death and who now speaks, embodies, is life. The risen Lord. That's what I have to say this Easter day, because I believe that's what this Easter story says. Where it is still dark, our faith in and faithfulness to God calls us there, and there a different story is told, a story in which God's life-giving power will be revealed. The truth that goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death through our risen Lord who loves us, who loves the people of this world, who loves this good world God has made. while it is still dark. Thanks be to God. Oh, we can say it together. Alleluia. Amen.